You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Thank God for His Patience. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Throughout the United States, this is the week when every year people pause to give special thanks as individuals, as families, and as a nation. Other nations also observe a day of Thanksgiving. Canada, for instance, observes the second Monday in October as a national day of Thanksgiving. Now, no matter who we are or in which country we live, it is the will of God that as we daily receive His many blessings, none of which we deserve, God expects us to say with the psalmist, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, sing to Him, sing praises to God, speak to all His wonders, and glory in His holy name. In the United States, it is especially crucial as we prepare to give thanks that we first examine ourselves as a nation. God has graciously granted our society unprecedented success, immeasurable affluence, and abundant material possessions. And He has done this with no merit of our own due to nationality or race. In fact, God continues to bless us, even though we as a nation have become increasingly immoral, and even though we now every year murder 30% of all our unborn children, and we have done this since 1973, and we have become decidedly less respectful toward our elderly. Even some of our most worldly politicians are now raising red flags of concern as to where we as a nation are headed. Consequently, while it is surely time to stop and to momentarily, at least as a nation, appreciate God for His abundant material blessings, it is even more important, yes, much more important, to recognize God's patience. God is surely a God of mercy as He deals with us as sinful individuals and as a rebellious and wayward nation. Thus, it is especially important as we prepare to give thanks this week that each of us realizes that if God treated us as we deserve, then we would quickly experience His righteous wrath. We would then come face to face with His judgment, a judgment we have called upon ourselves as a result of our own sin. And then we would also understand what the Bible means when it says, Our God is a consuming fire. And so at this time of Thanksgiving, as we consider what we really deserve from God, we might easily despair. Thanks be to God, however, for His undeserved mercy. In His Word, God graciously tells us that while we were yet sinners, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for us. Oh, indeed, who can fathom such a God? You see, the gods of the pagan world are always depicted as vengeful and angry and unloving. The God of the Bible, however, is totally opposite. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send His Son, Jesus, the Bible says, into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. Now, isn't this amazing and totally unbelievable? By every standard, including standards now claimed by secular authorities, that our society and we as individuals have fallen far short of what God expects of us. And yet God is patient with us. At this very moment, our gracious God in heaven is withholding His inevitable judgment in order that you and I might have a chance to repent of our sins, to change our life and attitude, and then to flee to the bloody sin-cleansing wounds of the crucified Christ. And so then, as we consider these upcoming days of special thanks to God for all of our blessings, let us not act glibly. And instead of being indifferent to what is going on around us, let us, with bended knee and folded hands and a repentant heart, center our thoughts on the biblical truth that God, in His mercy, is treating us not as we deserve, but by His grace. Oh, may this good news of God's gospel of patience and grace penetrate our sin-soaked hearts and transform our soul. And may you and I, beginning with this Thanksgiving, not only have a spirit-changed attitude within, but also a spirit-empowered witness without. Now, if you become suddenly thankful, of course, this may surprise some of your family or friends. You see, if you start taking God seriously, and if you begin to understand God's patience toward you and your failures, especially of being unthankful, and if you begin making comments to some of your friends and neighbors about this new thankful attitude, don't be surprised if your best intentions are met with a cold shoulder and even outright derision. In His Word, God says this is the way it will be. People will say, "We don't know why we ought to be thankful. We don't know why we should change our ways. We don't see God anywhere. Why be concerned about sin and thanklessness and repentance and God? And why should we be so hung up about religious thanksgiving?" "Don't worry," they say. "Be smart and celebrate. Have a good time. Eat a lot. Drink all that you can. Thanksgiving is a time to enjoy yourself. Don't worry about everybody else, and especially about God. He doesn't care." Now, this is the attitude that is very prevalent in our self-serving society today. And so if you plan to celebrate a real God-pleasing and Christ-centered Thanksgiving this year, and if you plan to tell all your friends about this, then be prepared. There are going to be those who will find your attitude silly and even foolish. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter. "Know this, first of all," the Apostle Peter writes, "that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. They will say, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.'" Now, in saying this, St. Peter was explaining that there will always be those who will make fun of God because, you see, shortly before His ascension, Jesus said He would return, and yet Christ has not yet made His reappearance. Therefore, the mockers say, "Where is the promise of His coming? We don't see Jesus." St. Peter, however, continues to explain when he says, "For when they," the scoffers, "maintain this, it escapes their notice, that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." Peter was surely saying, "Remember what happened centuries and centuries ago. God created the world. Man became rebellious. God was patient. But after a time, He sent a flood which destroyed all who mocked Him, including all those who were thankless." St. Peter then makes this word of warning from God relevant to us in 1996 when he says, "But the present heavens and earth, by His word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." During this Thanksgiving week, we cannot overstress the biblical teaching of the grace of God. Let this special message that God is patient towards you flood your heart, impact your life, and redirect your attitude and actions away from yourself and toward the needs of others around you. Now, in order to have a truly thankful heart, you and I need also to see God as He Himself reveals Himself. God is holy, and God is righteous. God expects us to come to Him in reverence and holy fear and in respect, and not with the currently popular lackadaisical attitude of flippancy and indifference. We need also to think about the sign that was posted on the locker room door of the spring training clubhouse of the Atlanta Braves baseball team. After they had won the 1995 World Series victory, and after receiving an invitation to have an audience with President Clinton, a sign was placed in the clubhouse saying, "To people going to the White House, don't forget to wear a suit." The message was very simple. Show respect. The president isn't your pal, and when you go to the White House, you are going to be in the presence of one of the most politically powerful persons in the whole world. And so if this is the attitude that the secular world expects to be shown toward a president and a mortal man, should not our attitude toward our holy God in heaven, especially during this Thanksgiving season, be the same and even more? when you and I truly know the God of the Bible, we will say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." God is an awesome God. You and I ought to say, "I will not only bend my heart and my knees, but my entire body before Him." And so then, my friend, in these next days, don't succumb to the temptation to look around you in order to observe all the ungodliness and all the unthankfulness of our society. Look first at yourself, and begin by honestly examining your own heart. For example, on Sunday morning, does your heart really desire to go to church and to hear the good news of God's gospel, that He pardons and strengthens all who come to Him in Jesus Christ? Is this really what you desire to do on Sunday morning, or is your heart and mind in other places? Would you rather perhaps be sleeping in, or maybe skipping church, and going to a local brunch, or maybe just driving around? As you take a moment to examine your life, do you find yourself thinking first of others, or are you so busy every day that you use all your time and energy serving yourself? Think about this. Think about your relationship to God this week. For if you do, and if you then also see, transposed over your sin and failure, God's patience and mercy, you will then also recognize the good news that even while you have been a sinner, Jesus Christ has died for you. And this good news of forgiveness and hope will change your day. It will transform your week. The good news of God's gospel has the power to make you truly thankful. Yes, this gospel of God's patience and mercy in Jesus Christ will change your entire future. This good news of God's patience and mercy is the greatest thing to be thankful for. And this is also the thankfulness that is truly God-pleasing. Almighty God, enable all who have heard your word today to be truly thankful. By your Spirit, remove from our hearts all sinful desires of self-centeredness and self-service. Empower us, O Lord, to show love to the elderly. Prompt us to visit those in hospitals and in prison. Move us to assist children and teenagers who need a friend they can trust. Blessed Heavenly Father, we pray, thank you for treating us not as we deserve, but with your undeserved grace and mercy. Thank you for your patience. Thank you most of all for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross, so that His death could serve as a perfect sacrifice to pay for all of our sins. O Lord, at this special time of thanksgiving, we echo the words of the hymn writer who wrote, "Christ, the life of all the living, Christ, the death of death our foe, who Thyself, for me once giving, to the darkest depths of woe, through Thy sufferings, death, and merit, I eternal life inherit. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto Thee." Heavenly Father, thank you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.